News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, a number of GPs have called on the HSE to open up walk-in PCR community test centres following increased demands for the service. And Damien McCallion, who's the HSE national lead on the vaccination programme, joins us now. Damien, we're currently inundated with people texting us about their difficulties getting a PCR test in various parts of the country. Tell us where we stand currently.
So where we're at the moment, Ciara, our original capacity was 15,000 a day for the community testing. We have 5,000 retained for hospitals within the hospitals at all times, and that's separate. So on the community side, we had that 100,000, which was seen as a big threshold, and then we had surge capacity, which allowed us to ramp up to 20,000 a day. And that was initiated back some weeks ago. It became obvious then that the demand was increasing further, and we took a number of additional steps then on that surge capacity to grow that to 25,000. And that included, for example, we opened a new centre in Dublin Airport. Cork and Shannon opened in the last 48 hours, bringing our centres up to 35. We've initiated further supports from the Defence Forces, and we're bringing in as much private resources as we can in to support the process. Now, clearly, as you say, the way that the process works is that we prioritise certain cases, daily certain testing, and we're achieving that same day or next day for those prioritised cases in terms of close contacts and GP referrals. The pressure really, I suppose, at the moment in some parts of the country is around the self-referrals, which, as you say, people are having challenges in getting appointments where they're not there for that. And we only release the appointments out 24 to 48 hours in advance. So there are areas in the country where there are challenges. The tests, PCR tests, are obviously for symptomatic people. The advice for those people, if you have symptoms, frustrating as it is to maybe have to wait for a test, is that you essentially self-restrict yourself in your movements for a period, and you must be symptom-free for 48 hours. So while the delay in terms of getting a test is clearly frustrating for people, and we appreciate that, it doesn't change the actual advice for you if you have both symptoms.
And I'm glad you said that, because that's obviously very important advice. If you're symptomatic, stay home and don't even pay any mind to negative antigens. Don't pay any mind to anything. Just stay home till you get your PCR.
Till you're symptom-free.
But are you saying that we're up to 35,000 with surge? I was trying to follow the numbers there. Is that what you said?
So it is. So we're currently at 25,000 within the community testing, which is effectively, if you look at it over the last 6 to 7 weeks, close to 1 million PCR tests have been undertaken in that period. We've done over 200,000 PCR tests in the last week alone. So there is significant volume. And I suppose it's reflective of where we are in the pandemic in relation to wave four, where we're seeing, you know, demand right across the healthcare system.
And I've no doubt you're under pressure, and I've no doubt you're trying to ramp things up. But if we have, say, you're saying we have about 200,000 we can do a week, do we have any idea what the demand currently is, though? Because it's all very well and good to have 200,000 per week, but what if the demand is 300 or 400?
Yeah, it's certainly in excess of that at the moment on certain days, and we can see it. It's also geographical, Ciara, in the sense, if you look back, say, some months ago, or not even months ago, but weeks ago, Donegal, for example, had very high case numbers and huge pressure on the testing in terms of getting appointments daily. At the moment, there's no problem getting appointments. So we're seeing pressure in Dublin, some of the urban areas at the moment. And that's why some of the steps we've taken, as I say, the new centre opened last week with 500. It's now up at 1,500 a day in early, and we'll have 3,000 between those three new sites at the end of the week.
Okay.
In terms of what the total demand that's out there, I suppose that does vary, and it's a little bit unknown in terms of obviously people coming forward. But we are seeing enough to know that it's in excess of where we are at the moment. And that's why I say we're doing a number of things.
Do you have an ability, and I don't know if you do or not, to model, you know, a point down the line in a week or in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks where demand and supply will meet each other? Do we know when we're likely to catch up here, is what I'm asking, in terms of the modelling of the curve of the surge?
Yeah, so there is models there, I suppose, around where you know this current wave is going to take us. I think it's fair to say that the virus has surprised us on many occasions, and certainly, I guess where we're at is we're trying to maximise the resources and the options we have across the private and public sector. That's the first thing. And where I think we'll get to, though, is there are still challenges at the moment, and it is going to be contingent, I suppose, on where this current wave takes us and how long it lasts. There is also a limit, I suppose, to how far we can go. So the testing pathway has three elements. One is the swabbing, which is where the current pressure is to get appointments. Second is the laboratories, which we've beefed up to significant numbers and aren't currently under pressure.
So there's still capacity in the labs, but it's the swabs that we have the issue with.
Yeah, we still have some capacity in the labs. And on our contact tracing then as well, obviously, which is more dictated by the positivity rate, again, through some measures we've taken, we're managing to cope in that area at the moment. Okay. So the pressure point is clearly in the appointment side.
Will we see walk-in clinics? Because that's what the call has been for.
So effectively, we have slots. We see people roughly every 5 minutes in terms of the appointment. So they're moved through a pace at all the centres. That capacity is fixed. So walk-ins won't bring any additional capacity into our system. And the concern we have from our public health people is that essentially then you run the risk of having large crowds and numbers gathering in an uncontrolled environment. And that really doesn't make sense given that these are symptomatic cases. Essentially, it doesn't increase the capacity, Ciara, that option.
Let's move on to the booster campaign, Damien. Obviously, you're still doing over 60s, but it has been green lighted, the booster campaign, for over 50s and people over 16 with medical, underlying issues. How likely are we to see how quickly are we likely to see that group specifically boosted?
Yeah, so briefly, just we've 630,000 people either done in the immunocompromised group or in the booster program so far, which is a good number. Long-term residential care, just briefly, over 65s completed. The over 80s GPs are substantially completing those small numbers to be done in some practices. Healthcare workers and over 70s are 50% through. The way in which we're running the program, Ciara,
so that's the sort of the top tier in the vaccine rollout in the initial round. That's kind of the top tier, maybe tier one and two.
Correct. And if you could think back to the original program, and this is a really important point for people, we worked through the cohorts in sequence, priority sequence determined.
And are we still doing that?
And we're still doing that. But what we are doing, because of the eligibility criteria for 5 months, we're paralleling some of the cohorts in order to keep the volume moving through all of our channels, our vaccine centres, our GPs and our pharmacies. And then going back to your question in relation to the medically vulnerable, which is a large group of close to 500,000, we will intend to start those now probably next week so that they will also run in parallel.
Okay. And what about the over 50s? Because obviously it was announced that NIAC has said it's okay for the over 50s. When will we get to them, I suppose?
So we're currently working through the plan in terms of when that will be, but they'll be the next group that follow on after the medically vulnerable. This is a little bit more complex because we have to factor in when people were eligible, when they were originally
the
vaccinated.
5 months, the 6 months and the 3 months for Janssen, obviously. Is it going to be mid-December? Is it going to be the new year? Do we have any, you know, if someone's listening in this morning, they're 52. When will they get
it? So the estimate around those will be sometime towards the end of the year in terms of commencement of the 50s. Based on the current profile of all of the groups that we've just gone through.
Lastly, just there was an issue out in the Fairy House vaccination centre, from what we're hearing, that people were called by text message to get a vaccine. They queued for up to 3 hours and then were told that they actually weren't eligible. They'd been called in error. We're also hearing, Damien, that a lot of the reasons people haven't turned up for boosters is because they've been called to more than one appointment. Is there an issue around the logistics of the text system that we're currently using?
Yeah, so the issue in Fairy House was a scheduling error, and obviously the Fairy House, and I would apologise to the people impacted by that. We can't boost people that aren't within the current NIAC guidance, and that shouldn't have happened. So I think they have apologised to those people affected for what happened, as you said. So I suppose one of the advantages of opening the three channels, Ciara, in terms of the vaccine centres, the GPs and pharmacies, is it allows more flexibility for the public in terms of access, but it does present some challenges for us in terms of attendance, in terms of timing, perhaps when people get appointments and so on. We're working those through, and we also try and overcompensate. So in other words, we will overbook many of the vaccine clinics by a certain amount in order to compensate for perhaps that people have been vaccinated in other channels and maybe that information hasn't flowed through to the system yet. So those sort of things have been worked through and we're dealing with them. We had to deal with them in the original programme. And we'll work through those, Ciara, as we get through the programme over the coming months and so on.
Damien McCallion, HSE National Lead on Vaccines. Thank you for that indeed.